Hey, this is Mike.
And Dan.
This is Comparing Apples to Oranges, the podcast where we take two things in the same category that don't belong in the same genre, and using a special set of criteria designed specifically for this episode, we decide which one is better. Okay, that one was good.
Yeah, that's not bad.
We're going to go ahead and keep that one. All right, so how's it going over there?
It's going full
summer swing for the old,
yeah.
For the old Dan man.
Yeah, it's the most wonderful time of the year.
All right, we are 30 seconds in, and Dan's already singing, so this is going to be a good episode, everybody. Going to be a good episode.
And by most wonderful time of the year, in case you're listening to this at a different time of the year, we're talking about the summertime.
Or if you're in the southern hemisphere, do they have summer now?
I don't know how...
Eastern hemisphere?
How the world works.
One of them's tilted. We're tilted right now, so I think the southern hemisphere is currently going through a fall/autumn.
I just put books back on the shelves for a living and whatnot.
You did not do that for most of your teaching career. You taught science.
Yeah, I forgot it all, though.
Classic.
You know that I've forgotten more about this than you'll ever know. That doesn't really help you if you forgot it.
I don't know who that's helping. But it is a sentence, and people say it to justify their lack of knowledge, so can't begrudge them that. All right, so today we are back at you with some albums we listened to. Dan, we're getting pretty good about listening to modern albums.
Yeah, I don't like it. I don't like that we're listening to music that was made after 1998.
I really just want to keep listening to Deja Vu.
It's kind of not my thing. My thing is kind of like I don't listen to music after Biggie died. You know, that was the day the real music died.
Take that, Don McLean.
Don Henley.
Wait, is he dead? I'm kind of worried he's dead.
Don Henley's rolling over in his grave right now.
Do you remember there was a time when we accidentally, called multiple people's, multiple celebrities' deaths?
Mm-hmm.
We were pretty close.
Yeah,
so.
You're dealing with some
powerful
magic there.
Yeah.
When you talk about, even if you talk about a celebrity that you haven't mentioned in a long time, all of a sudden they'll pop up on the news and turns out they passed away. That happened to me and my dad and Davy Jones.
Oh, no.
And we were driving by Powell Symphony Hall downtown St. Louis, where I saw the Monkees in 1987.
Mm-hmm.
And just out of nowhere, hadn't mentioned the Monkees in, years.
They don't really come up in conversation, but
no,
they're always
they
sort of, I mean, like that, but not in a bad way either. They're like, oh, did you hear so-and-so recently got, caught trying to traffic heroin? That's never going to happen with the Monkees. They're too smart, Dan. All right.
Yep.
They pay
yep.
their mules the right amount.
That's right.
Never get caught.
We were driving by a Powell Symphony Hall and mentioned the Monkees, and then 2 days later, the news about Davy Jones came out. So,
that's terrible.
You're dealing with powerful stuff.
With great power comes great responsibility.
Yeah.
So let's start talking about Fred Durst for a half an hour. So rid the world of that scum.
Yep.
Okay. So in one way, I think it's we don't have to worry too much about our powers being used for evil today, because two of the major celebrities we're going to talk about, unfortunately, have already passed away. So their blood is not on our hands, which is
right.
Really good, because if it was, I'd want to forget myself. So, I think this is I've been wanting to do this category for a while, and I couldn't find a good pair of people that I wanted to compare. And
sure.
I found out that there is a website, I think it was, it's not a listicle, but it was one of the things where, you could... It was user submitted, and then you would vote. I don't know. It was a weird website. I found it on my phone, there's probably no way I could re-find it on my computer.
No.
That's just I don't know what the rules are for that, but it happens every time. So it is musical artists who are children of famous musical artists.
Mm-hmm.
And we did not do Miley Cyrus, because I don't consider Billy Ray Cyrus a musical artist. I consider
Whoa!
Him.
You ever heard Achy Breaky Heart?
Have you heard another song that he sang?
Hmm.
Here's the thing. I know two more, and they're equally worse. Like, Achy Breaky Heart belongs in, like, the
The
nine.
top echelon of country music ever.
From the 90s.
It's like Billy Ray Cyrus, George Jones, and Garth Brooks, and put somebody and put like George Strait on your Mount Rushmore of country music.
But that's like if, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, or Teddy Roosevelt, who's also on Mount Rushmore, only did one thing and then disappeared from society, only to come up later and, ruin the country. That's the equivalent, okay? You can't put.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that Achy Breaky Heart's bad, but I'm saying I Want My Mullet Back is not good. I didn't even
Whoa.
look that one up, Dan. I knew that off the dome, okay? You can check that
Okay.
out later. It's very bad. Jess will know about it because he was on Dancing with the Stars, and he was doing that dance, like a dance to the song he wrote called Gimme Back My Mullet, and he tried to rip the mullet wig off of his partner, much to her chagrin, because they had not discussed this, and I'm assuming, like, professional wigs aren't just like put on. I think they're either like glued or like bobby pinned on. So she was in a lot of pain. So
Wow.
he's just a
All right.
garbage human, and let's move on from there. So okay, so our two famous parents are, we've got Bob Marley, famous reggae Jamaican singer from Bob Marley and the Wailers, and George Harrison of Beatles fame, of solo fame, and then sort of a tip of our hat to last month's episode with the Traveling Wilburys. So he, both of these guys sort of like are part of the, music, pop music, and like, would you say like rock music? I don't know if you consider Beatles music rock music by today's standards.
Yeah, I mean, it was always rock and roll. I think rock and roll and has kind of become, I don't know if I don't know how to say it. Rock and roll has kind of become like almost like oldies, if that makes
That
sense.
makes
When you
sense.
hear like when you hear rock and roll, you think of like the Beatles, like the Rolling Stones, even like Jerry Lee Lewis and Elvis and stuff like that. And then there's like rock without the roll
Right. Yeah.
is
Like Led
you think
Zeppelin, Jimi
about
Hendrix.
the current more current rock bands that are a little heavier.
I think that's a good distinction because, like, if it wasn't for the Beatles, rock and roll wouldn't be the same as it is today. But I didn't know if you would consider it the same. We would call it the same thing. Both of these guys were in the public eye a lot. Both comfortably experimented with mind-altering substances, and just have like an amazing catalog that everyone should listen to. And like them personally, or them individually, have influenced so much of like, modern music, and then their sort of participation with their mutual bands, also just like live shows, everything you hear, like everyone's obsessed. Everyone wants to know more about these guys. They're just fascinated with them. And like I mentioned earlier, they both have passed away, unfortunately. Bob Marley passed away in like the early 80s. George Harrison more recently. Both of them apparently, even though George Harrison was stabbed 40 times by a man suffering from schizophrenia, apparently his wife like incapacitated the guy. I don't. Did you know the story already?
No.
So George Harrison and his wife were like attacked in their home by this just guy with mental illness, And the man just came in and stabbed George Harrison over 40 times, and then Olivia Harrison took a like one of those fire pokers and like started just beating the guy, and then hit him with either a lamp or a vase, I can't remember, and knocked him out. And then they
Wow.
got George to the hospital. He recovered from the 40 stab wounds, like they sewed him up, all that stuff. They had to remove part of his lung, and then years later he succumbed to like lung cancer that made its way to his brain too. So
Oh.
both guys passed away because of that. It's really Bob Marley's story is like way sadder because
Yeah.
he sort of just refused to get traditional treatment, and like he had some like melanoma on his toe, and then it like metastasized and then like made its way to his brain, and then like he just wouldn't do regular treatment, like he wanted to do chemo or radiation, and then he ended up passing away. Like, I'm not saying like it's completely like you can't place blame, but it's definitely one of those things where it's like you should just probably get the treatment, bro.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. So that was really sad. But today, go
I wonder
ahead.
if that was any kind of like religious thing why he didn't.
He cited some of that, but
Okay.
they alleged that some of it was due to like if they wanted to amputate his toe the first time that this happened, and he's like, oh, I want to, he's like, I want to be able to tour the same way, I want to be able to perform the same way. So instead, they just like cut a biopsy off and then did a skin graft on it. But they apparently, you know, it's also like the 80s, so
Sure.
medicine is just not as good, which is really
Yeah.
sad. So,
Everybody was on cocaine, so.
yeah, and it, apparently that does not cure cancer, which is too bad.
No.
So I think that really sucks. Just like the stories of those two gentlemen, like we had to lose them in fairly tragic ways, which is too bad. But their legacies live on, and that's what we're talking about today. So Dan, you want to go ahead and introduce our two boys?
Sure. Well, we've got the son of George Harrison, that being one Danny Harrison,
How do you
and the
spell
first
Danny?
time
How do you
that
spell
would
that?
be, of course, Dhani,
And then,
as all Dannys are
do you want to
spelled.
read the little highlighted part I got here for you?
All right, let me see if I can make this a little bigger here. Oh, there we go. Harrison is named after the sixth and seventh notes of the Indian music scale. Da and ni, Dhani. Danny is also a raga
Ragaman. I don't
in North Indian classical music. I don't know what that means.
know. No, there's it's a citation that I could click and it would take me to another Wikipedia page. You know that's not happening. I spent a
No.
lot of time on Wikipedia today. I learned a lot. Okay.
Well, the first time I ever saw Danny Harrison was the Concert for George in 2002. He didn't, if I remember correctly, he was just kind of there. Like, I think he was, apparently he's done a lot for George Harrison's music after his passing.
Yes.
Like, there was like an album that George Harrison had like recorded but hadn't finished, so Danny went in and like finished it and then released it posthumously.
Yeah, debut to as a professional musician was in assisting with his father's final album, which is called Brainwashed. I don't know how much you kept up with George Harrison's music after the Wilburys, so I don't know if
Not
you
a
listened to
lot.
this. So it was so George Harrison started it, and then Danny picked it up with the assistance of Jeff Lynne. So that's the guy from ELO who's in the Traveling Wilburys. And after his father's death in 2001,
Gotcha.
then he went on to form his own band, which did you ever see the movie That Thing You Do?
The Tom
So
Hanks movie.
remember how they like th their name of the band was The Wonders, but they wanted to spell it differently because the Beatles spelled Beatles funny.
Yeah.
So I think that's what Danny Harrison ran into. So his band was known as The New Number Two, but it's spelled T. It's all one word: THE, easy, no capital letters, by the way. NEW, okay, that's fine. NO, and then the physical number two.
Yeah, I don't like
So.
that.
So he formed this band in 2002. So this is after he finished Brainwashed with Jeff Lynne, and then he performed at a couple of festivals, and people were saying that he did a really good job. We listened to his first solo album, which is In Parallel, but it's All capital letters, of course, all one word, of course.
Of course.
In, and then three forward slashes, and then
yep.
parallel. Parallel is spelled correctly, though, so I got to give them that.
Almost too many forward slashes, but I think the just right amount was used here.
I think, so when you're doing anything with computers, you only need two forward slashes to do anything.
Right.
However, now that I'm looking at it, with the three forward slashes, he has created two, like, negative space, like, parallel lines. So I'm sure that's what was intended. All right. So
I don't know if I like that or not.
We listened to, yeah, this is his 2017 debut. It is classified as alternative rock, which we
Done that before.
Electronic rock, which I'm sure is your favorite, and then industrial. So it goes over real well in the Rust Belt, you know, where in like Detroit.
Or the coal mining industry.
They're like, oh, is that Danny Harrison up again? I love that stuff.
Is that Canary dead?
That would be a sad song.
Yeah.
So Danny Harrison was born, I just want to put stuff in context. He was born in 1978. So by the time, like, when he was helping his dad, 2001, he was only 23. So that's sort of like, he didn't really get into music until, like, after college, I would say.
Yeah.
He's apparently, he's also considered a British multi-instrumentalist musician. He was a composer, singer, and songwriter, and he was the only child. I'm going to get back to all of his, like, accolades later, but let's move on to our second guy.
Gotcha.
Who's our second guy, Dan?
Mr. Ziggy Marley.
Okay. Son of the famous Bob.
Maybe Bob Marley?
That's it. You guessed it.
Yay!
Come on. So Danny's name origin is pretty interesting. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about Ziggy's. His first name is David. His middle name is Nesta. He was born in 1968, so he's 10 years senior to our boy Danny. He is the son of Bob and Rita Marley. Are you ready for this one, Dan?
Yep.
He also performed the theme song for the children's cartoon series Arthur.
Nice.
Did you have any idea about that?
No.
And I say, hey, what a wonderful kind of day. If you could learn to work and play and get along with each other. You got to listen to your heart, listen to the beat, listen to the rhythm of the street. Open up your eyes, open up your ears, get together and make things better by working together.
Oh, this is the first I'm hearing of it.
I'm so proud to know this now. But okay, so here's the story that how he ended up with Ziggy instead of David Marley. Although, like, Dave Marley would sell records, let's be honest, okay?
Yeah.
So, he, of course, started a band, as you do. He was a pretty young guy, and the name of the band was the Seven Doobies. Now, again, we got the creative spelling. So it's seven, spelled out, D-O,
right.
Space, new word, bees. Still, like, pretty silly name, because it says made up of him and his classmates. And I'm assuming this is, like, he's in middle school, maybe? He was given the stage name Freddy Dick. the moniker never stuck, however.
Thank God.
Too bad. And David went on to become known as Ziggy, a nickname given to him by his father, meaning Little Spliff. Dan, instead of going to Urban Dictionary, can you tell all of our listeners what spliff is?
Is a spliff like a small marijuana cigarette?
You got it.
Yay! Like,
it's a, you know, it's got a little devil's lettuce in there. You got your... You got to watch out. Can't
got that
those,
paper.
It's got one of those spicy cigarettes. You gotta watch out.
Yep. Magic cigarettes.
There you go. But according to Ziggy himself, he told this magazine in 1988. So when he was 20 years old, he started telling people that his name was David, and he was a big David Bowie fan. And at the time Ziggy Stardust came out, he started calling himself Ziggy. And he says, now everyone does.
So, which story is true, then?
I don't know. The one is in a magazine, and the other one didn't really have a citation. So I don't want to spread rumors,
I
but
like
I will
the
read stuff
quote
myself.
there. It's like, "Me name David, but me Big Bowie fan. So at the time of the Ziggy Stardust album, me call myself Ziggy, and now everybody do."
That's the thing. I didn't have time today to research why Rastafarians speak so silly. Like, this is a very common thing. Did you ever see the Lonely Island digital short called Roz Trent, where
I don't believe so.
where Andy Samberg is like a white Rastafarian and he works at Cold Stone Creamery? But he does the thing where it's like, instead of saying me, they put I, like Rastafarians will say I instead of me, and then switch that up. I haven't figured out why that is. Didn't have time to look it up, but I'll get back to you. We'll send the interns out on that one. The old syntax chase, as they call it.
Yeah. The old rat race.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about Ziggy. Like, just burst on the scene. He was doing stuff when he was like 10 and 11. He began performing in his place alongside the Wailers, the Bob Marley's band, various shows around Jamaica, which is home country. And then in 84, so when he was, no, that's okay. So when, and then in 1984, the group went on tour in support of the year's Bob Marley Legend compilation album release. Okay, and then in 1999, he had already Ziggy had released his 10th studio album already. So that's, he's been, just churning stuff out.
I think that was that the 10th album for the Wailers, or is that,
So
I
he
think
was part
he,
of the Melody Maker. It was
okay.
Ziggy Marley and the Melody Makers, which he took that name from a pop rock music newspaper in Britain.
Gotcha.
And then
So then he started doing solo stuff
he did solo
after that?
stuff as well. In April 2011, are you ready for this one? Ziggy Marley announced his fourth album by him, solo album,
Gotcha.
entitled Wild and Free, which would be released. In the title track featuring Who's That? Who's That, Dan?
That
Woody
looks like
Harrelson
Woody
was
Harrelson.
available for free with the pre-order of Ziggy's first comic book. What's that one, Dan?
I believe that says Marijuana Man.
Marijuana Man. You got it.
Oh my God.
Do you remember when Woody Harrelson was like really into talking about weed? 'Cause
He still
I
is.
don't remember it, but I remember there was a Simpsons episode. And Woody Harrelson's like,
Still
yeah,
is.
these pants are made completely out of hemp. And then, like,
Yeah,
the
he's
camera
like a
pans down.
big like hemp proponent. He talks about it like constantly.
I did not know that. I just.
He's just not as much in the limelight, even though he's still making like big
He
movies,
just, yeah,
but
he just did a movie on Netflix.
yeah.
Okay, so we listened to his seventh solo studio album, Rebellion Rises, which was produced through his Tuff Gong Worldwide record label, and the album was fully written, recorded, and produced by Marley, which is really cool.
And it was actually available for free
No way.
with the pre-order of Ziggy's second comic book, Weed Man.
Weed Man, yeah. The Adventures of Weed Girl.
The
And the
Adventures
Cannabis
of
Forest.
Weed.
All right,
Yeah,
so.
that's not true, by the way. Citation needed on that
Citation
last one
needed. So,
that we just made up.
I want to read this last one just because, like, it's so, like, putting stuff in context. So, Danny Harrison was the only child of George Harrison and his wife Olivia. And so, like, you understand where he's coming from. He's, like, the only kid, and George Harrison's, like, this wildly famous musician who's, like, makes music prolifically, and most of the stuff he puts out is amazing. So Ziggy Marley's the eldest son, so that's going to make some sense. He has the brothers Stephen Marley, Julian Marley, and Damian Marley, all who make music and are, like, in the limelight. He also has another brother, Kaimani, maybe? Robert Nesta Jr. Oh, okay, there you go. I guess that's Bob's middle name. And Rohan Marley, who's a big fan of The Lord of the Rings, I'm assuming. He has three sisters, Sharon, Sedella, Karen. Why did it say three? Oh no, he has more than three sisters: Sharon, Sedella, Karen, Stephanie, Makita, Marley, and then he has multiple children. And then allegedly, this is the citation needed. Don't want to spread rumors. He had three more children with like from a previous relationship who was with a reggae singer. So like, do you remember hearing, this might have just been like negative spin to get people off, you know, smoking that grass, but like marijuana is supposed to like curb your sperm production or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's supposed to produce slow swimmers. Bob Marley is a powerhouse of child making, and then Ziggy Marley apparently is too. He knocked out seven.
He so probably would have had more if not for the marijuana. He had to smoke the marijuana to just stop having so many kids.
Makes sense. Makes sense.
Like he would have had 30, and he ended up having 11.
Yeah,
or so, whatever the number is.
And so the album we listened to today, Rebellion Rises, is comfortably in the reggae genre. I think all of his brothers and sisters and half brothers and half sisters, I think they all do reggae. I don't think anybody went crazy and did something new.
Apparently, Rohan Marley was. I knew one of the Marleys was married to Lauryn Hill.
Oh, cool.
Apparently, Rohan Marley.
Okay.
I don't know if they were married, but they were like together for like 20 years or something like that. Wow. And had children, and
that's cool. Fun fact, we're talking about free stuff when you sign up for something silly. Danny Harrison's band The New Number 2 had a debut album called You Are Here, which is confusing, which was released in 2008. And then the song Yomp, you might know this one, was featured as a downloadable song for the Rock Band series. And Crazy Tuesday was featured as one of the 20 free songs that were downloadable with the purchase of Rock Band 2.
I had that, and I didn't know that at the time, I guess, that was his band.
Okay. Well, isn't there egg on your face? Don't you sound silly.
You know, I think that was part of the... You know, part of everything that I read is that it took Danny Harrison a long time to come out with his solo album because he kind of liked the anonymity of just being part of a band that, like, I didn't know he... Apparently, I have heard several songs of this band, yeah, and even played several songs of this band on a video game,
yeah,
and didn't know it was George Harrison's kid.
And apparently, he's also credited on two unreleased Traveling Wilbury tracks. I don't know why you would have heard them then, because they're unreleased.
I'm so tired of being lonely.
Aw. we should have looked up if Roy Orbison has any famous kids, like Casper or other famous ghosts. They're just like children with like giant sunglasses. That's his,
yeah,
his legacy.
They just they come out of the womb with enormous sunglasses on. Well, are they're in the nursery and one like, which one's Roy's kid? No, it's the one with the enormous sunglasses.
It's the one that's a ghost. Should have guessed. Yep. Completely transparent. Not even an easy one. All right. So, are you ready for our categories, or do you want to? Is there any more knowledge you want to drop on our listeners about these two boys?
I think
boys?
I'm ready.
Okay,
let's do it.
We'll be back in just 30 seconds. That's not true. But we'll be back in just a second. All right, and we're back, and now we're going to release upon you four criteria that we're going to use today to decide which album by an artist of a famous music artist is better. So Dan,
well said.
What should we start with?
Relistenability, baby.
Yeah, which one are you going to sit down and play again? Which one are you going to jump? Maybe you don't have to listen to the whole thing in order. Maybe jump around, catch your favorite tracks. Always a good one.
Are we going to do our picks? We're going to go through all the categories first.
Let's do our pick.
All right. I went with Rebellion Rises.
Okay.
By Ziggy Marley. To me, it was just a more enjoyable album to listen to. I don't know really how to put that into better words. The Danny Harrison album was very
parallel?
Much sounded like it sounded like I was like at a massage parlor.
Ooh, sexy.
Yeah. And it was just very like chanting and monks and water gently rushing down into a babbling brook.
Are you writing a haiku? Because no, it's not bad.
It just didn't. You could tell that there was a lot of artistry in it, but not something that I would like listen to for fun.
Okay,
if that makes sense.
That does make sense.
But I think if you were like at a party or something, or if you were just hanging out, you know, with your friends, you could put the Ziggy Marley album on, you know, in the background, and it's got kind of a, you know, a cool, it's just, you know, kind of like the I don't want to say generic, but kind of the generic reggae feeling beat to it. And reggae music for the most part is pretty fun.
Yeah, effervescent. Sometimes it could be silly. And I think that's the big difference between these two. Like, I remember when we talked about, like, with our first episode, we talked about The Downward Spiral by Nine Inch Nails, and then, like, Carly Rae Jepsen's Emotion, like, pop record. And it's like, it's not that Danny Harrison did a bad job, so I don't want to listen to it. It's just like, so I don't know if you saw this, both of the albums are 10 songs long, but, like, Danny Harrison's is extensively longer in time, and it's, you have to sort of like work through it, you know, and it's, you can't just like listen to two or three songs and know what's going on. And I think even though like Ziggy Marley had that really weird song about how he's not like a Christian, a Muslim, or a Jew, and then he used that the word Jew is like his rhyming word,
I'm not a Christian, I'm not a Muslim, I'm not a Jew, it shouldn't matter to you. I'm not a capitalist, and I'm not a communist, I'm not a socialist, I'm not the politics.
I wouldn't listen to that one again. But there are like three or four songs on here that are like really catchy, and then like three or four that are totally fine, you know, just like good background music. So I'm with you here. I'm doing re-listenability for Ziggy.
Gotcha.
All right, and then the next one we called sort of like stepping out on your own, or a chip off the old block. And you summarized it as saying it's which artist did a better job sort of producing their own sound.
Yeah.
Why do you think this is a good criteria for a quality artist of famous artists?
Well, I think it's just the fact that every review of these albums that I looked up, and every, you know, opinion article that was written about these albums, the first thing that people mentioned is, oh, it's this person's kid. And everybody's wondering, is it going to sound like this person? You know, when your dad is, you know, ridiculously famous worldwide.
Yeah. Mr. Worldwide.
Mr. Worldwide. I wonder if Pitbull has a kid that does music.
According to his, like, braggadocio rap music, he probably has impregnated quite a few women.
I wonder if any of them are really good at crappy, like, electronica party music.
Well, we'll find out in 10 seconds.
Yeah, we'll have an intern look it up. While you're looking that up, I think that if you're just making music and you're just kind of ripping off your dad, then, you know, the ripoff is never as good as the original. But if you can kind of, you know, use, you know, traces of things that you've kind of picked up over the years and kind of create your own sound, then I think that that's more meaningful And I think you can kind of take the best things from your mom or your dad and put that into your own music. And I think that that could, you know, be something that's really special. So I think that's why that's a good category for what we're talking about today.
And I think that's sort of the main complaint of all famous kids is that, like, no one really cares who your parents are if you can't do something interesting. Like, it not necessarily, like, Wolfgang Van Halen, he's not doing anything new, but, like, people are excited that, holy smokes, look at Pitbull's wife. He has no wife but has four children from different women. Oh, so his raps are... Oh, that's his girlfriend. Two of his children. She is very attractive, so I gotta give him that, I guess. Pitbull has not disclosed any information about his other children. He always stays mute whenever he is asked about his kids and hardly makes comments about his love life. Even though he and Barbara are no longer together, the duo are still enjoying tutelage of their children. Well, that's nice! Yeah. I just assumed he
Good
was a sleazebag because, I mean, look at him. God.
Hold on, go down a little bit. He is 5'9" tall. He weighs 73 kilograms, and his chest measurement is 41, waist 33, and biceps 14.
14 centimeters? Or you think that's inches?
Who did this? Who?
This is pitbullbiography.com.
So pitbullbiography.com said, hey, for Heightline, they said, hey, Pitbull, line. We need we're going to just, if you could just hold still, we got these, flexible ruler here.
We're 5'9". Go ahead and... Dan, that's pretty short for Mr. Yeah. Worldwide.
Knock these biceps out here.
Could you please stop flexing, sir?
Yep.
But that's not how we measure it. Estimated around $50 million. That's pretty good.
It's not bad.
I mean, I don't have that.
I mean, I do, but it's invested in other things.
None of it's liquid. Classic Dan.
Yeah.
We call him No Liquid Dan.
Yep.
Dry as a bone, that guy is.
Yep, that's right. All solid.
But no I think liquid. The important thing to remember is that, like, just because you're related to someone famous doesn't mean people are going to like you, especially if you just do a bad job. But apparently, like, Van Halen's son is doing amazing. And do you remember... Did you ever see The Godfather 3? And he, like, that's when Francis Ford Coppola had his daughter, Sofia Coppola, like, play a character. Mm-hmm. And everyone's like, this is dumb. That wasn't the only reason the movie was dumb. But then Sofia Coppola, like, started to direct her own movies. And everyone's like, oh, I bet she's going to do, you know, more gangster films. And then, like, if because her first... thing out of the gate was good, she won people over. Like, you don't have to do the same stuff, but whatever you do, it has to be good on its own.
Sure.
Otherwise, do you know who Rebecca Black is? She didn't have famous parents, she just had rich parents, and they paid for her song Friday.
Oh, yeah.
It played on the radio.
Yeah.
And I think... I don't know if that became famous because everyone hated it and it was ironic. It was catchy, but it wasn't good. I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't hate on it anymore. Put that aside.
Something yeah, how many songs have you put out?
Well, with you or solo?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Less than 10.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying. Leaving it there. Okay. So who do you think did a better job of stepping out, making sure they weren't just a chip off the old block, that they made their own sound?
I thought Danny did. I could tell that there was a lot of influence from his dad in his songs. Like, what's the sitar? Is that the instrument?
Yes.
You know, apparently, like there was a story about George Harrison with the sitar. He just, like, they were at some, like, recording studio or something, and somebody happened to be one there, And apparently there weren't very many in the world in existence. And he's like,
oh, I don't like how this is starting.
He's like, what is this? He goes, I'm going to learn how to play this, and I'm going to put it in a song, like, yeah, today. And, you know, and you can hear it in a lot of, not a lot of Beatles songs, but there's several Beatles songs that kind of have that, you know, that, like, transcendental meditation feel to.
For sure. And that's their, like, their phase when they were in India.
Right. But I think that Danny kind of took that and which wasn't like, not like the first thing you think of when you think of the Beatles. You
definitely
know, you don't think of that phase. He kind of took that and kind of expanded on that and kind of, I think he kind of bonded with that, you know, that small section of the Beatles history and, you know, kind of really identified with it and said that I'm going to expand on that. And because a lot of those, you know, Beatles songs that have, you know, like the sitar and that type of instrumentation in it, a lot of it's just instrumental. It doesn't have, you know, a lot of vocals that go with it. But, you know, Danny kind of took that and kind of, you know, mixed it with, you know, like the alt rock kind of feel, and kind of made his own thing there. And that's pretty much what the whole album is. You know, yeah. I don't think there's a lot of, like, diversity on the album. I don't think there's a lot of diversity on either one of these albums.
Yeah, I'm in complete agreement with you there.
I think you could switch from, like, track 1 to track 7 to track 5 to track 10, and you might not hear a lot of difference in the songs. I'm not saying that, you know, in a negative way, but a lot of
most of
the songs kind of sound the same. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I thought that, you know, Ziggy sounds almost exactly like his dad.
Yeah.
You know, like, every song, like, sound, you know, could have easily, you know, been a Bob Marley song. I think both of these guys have a lot of, like, Danny's, like, voice sounds a lot like his dad.
Oh, is that right?
But the music itself doesn't sound like a lot of stuff that his dad did, especially, like, a lot of stuff his dad did later on.
And, you know, I'm sure he could, like, do a falsetto, or, like, he could change it if he concentrated on it, but, like, he's not trying to sound like his dad. He just sounds like him.
Right. But I think Ziggy, I don't know. Ziggy just sounds like almost, like, every song sounds almost exactly like it could have easily just been a Bob Marley song.
Right.
So that's why I kind of went with Danny on that one.
I'm going with you. Because I think Danny decided to, like, he could have just done, like, singer-songwriter, like, acoustic music, because, you know, George Harrison was successful with that. Or, like, he could have, you know, gotten a band and done, like, traditional rock music, or, you know, or modern rock music. If you, like, I think that would still have been, like, being, like, following in the footsteps of his dad in a literal way. But I appreciate, like, he brought in different artists on this. You know, even though he did have those ties with, like, the Traveling Wilbury guys, like, he played his dad's While My Guitar Gently Weeps. But, like, he was also, like, he apparently, like, did some... Oh, here we go. Okay, so he did music collaborations that span a diverse range of genres. That's right up our alley. So you've seen him tour with Eric Clapton, so that's sort of in the same vein of his, like, that's what his dad did. And
yeah,
then he appeared on the Wu-Tang Clan tracks The Heart Gently Weeps. That's an homage, obviously. And then he joins Pearl Jam live on stage several times over the years. So that all, I think Pearl Jam is probably, like, the closest, I would say, to, like, what he could have joined. Like, maybe Foo Fighters. Like, those are the sort of, like, modern rock bands that followed the tradition of the Beatles.
Sure.
Not in the way that, like, they are as successful or as talented or as innovative, but, like, that's the kind of rock and roll that the Beatles set in motion, I think.
Sure.
And so I think Danny, like, because he was sort of older before he got into music, and because his dad was tried all sorts of different kinds of music, that's maybe it was easier for him to step into something that was original.
Where sure.
Ziggy was, like, he was always around music. He was the firstborn. And then, like, by the time he was 10, he was already, you know, singing.
Yeah.
And doing reggae music.
Sure.
And I can't speak for Jamaican culture, but I don't know how many other, like...
Well, I can.
Okay, good. Like, how many genres of music there are there besides, like, traditional reggae? I'm assuming hip-hop, because that's everywhere now.
Well, there are six, Michael.
Thanks. That really relieved me. Do you remember...
Save that for another show, but are six.
I think it's... Is it Lean On Me? There was, like, a modern-day remix. Was that with Bob Marley? Or was that with one of the Sons?
That was a different crappy band, I believe. Let's see here.
Lean On Me reggae? Or remake? That was probably...
That was Club Nouveau.
By DJ Old School.
That's... Club Nouveau.
Bill Withers was the original one.
Yeah.
Man, my ears played the old racist card on me, where I'm like, oh, someone's, you know, playing a steel drum. This must be Bob Marley.
Nope, just somebody trying really hard to sound like him.
Well, it tricked, you know, ignorant me.
Yep, okay. Trick people into downloading.
All right, so far you and I have agreed on both things. So now we're going to move into a similar category, but we're calling it modernized inheritance. So who do you think took their, like, they were given the gift of a famous, you know, father who was wildly prolific and just very important in the music world. Who did a better job of taking that and putting it into 21st century?
I mean, I guess I'll go with Ziggy on this one, just because he kind of took, you know, the same style and the same influence, but applied it to, like, modern issues.
Okay.
You know, there was a lot of Bob Marley was very political.
Right. Which you might not have known from, like, just hearing some of his songs off the, like, oh, like, We Be Jammin' and
yeah.
No Woman, No Cry.
Three Little, like, Birds.
Yeah, but, like, you gotta listen to it. And
right.
Which I think adds to, like, how talented of an artist he is, too.
But I thought that Ziggy was also very political on his album, too. It was, you know, but it was, you know, not just generic, we need to make the world a better place. He was very, like, specific about see them fake leaders.
Right. The revolution one. World revolution.
World revolution.
Fear, starting fires, they don't care, making enemies out of friends, killing thousands, hundreds and tens. If only they could lead the world to peace and prosperity.
There was some stuff like Circle of Peace, but I'm thinking of something else. But I thought that, you know, it was, discrimination and, the leaders, you know, kind of leading us, you know, down, the wrong path, which is very relevant today. So I think he kind of took, you know, Bob's messages and kind of just updated a little bit, which I think is kind of perfect for the category that you were that you set up there.
So I'm glad we finally disagreed on something. So I'm going with Danny, because I think that I'm going to call experimentation his, like, use and experimentation with these electronic sound and, like, the different kind of mixing and bringing in artists that don't sound anything like him or wouldn't it ever be considered part of, like, you know, rock music? That sort of, I think, is the natural progression of, like, George Harrison being like, oh, what is that, a sitar?
Huh. Yeah. You know what I mean? I'm going to pick this up and learn how to play it.
Right. And I sort of see, like, in the, just the sort of, like, it's, I don't consider it artsy, but it's sort of just like, maybe ethereal. It's like hard to, he doesn't want to be easily categorized, and that's the whole thing with alternative rock, is like, it's not southern rock, it's not, you know, screamo, it's not emo, it's not, you know, anything. It's just, it has the traditional band setup, and then it has, you know, strong message in it. Mm-hmm. And then it's just sort of like, he's going to do whatever he wants to do. And I think that is sort of the George Harrison inheritance, and then he pushed it to what it looks like today.
So, gotcha.
Finally. Oh, fun fact about Danny Harrison. He was the face of Gap's fall global campaign entitled Back to Blue.
Oh.
I don't know what that campaign was for.
Gotcha.
It did happen 6 years ago.
I think it's like supporting police officers.
That does
sound... like back the badge.
But it's not back the blue, it's back to blue. Like back,
exactly.
Back in black.
I know.
Do you?
Crazy, right?
It's not normal. Okay, now our last one. We're talking about the theme of the album. So mm-hmm. in this world of, you know, downloadable Rock Band songs and free tracks when you purchase Marijuana Man comic books,
yep.
which album did a better job of being just that, an album, rather than a series of singles that happened to all have come out at the same time?
Mine kind of ties into my previous category, and so I went with Ziggy on that one as well, just because I think the theme in, you know, on both albums, both all the songs kind of sound alike, but I thought that there was a message and you know, a reason for putting these tracks together on the Ziggy Marley album, rather than you know, Danny Harrison kind of just trying different things and kind of showing you his range a little bit more. I thought there was a little bit more diversity on the Danny album, but I thought that the theme was better on the Ziggy album.
Okay, that's a really good way to articulate all that. And I thought that, like, with some of the songs from in parallel, Danny's album, I could see a theme within a specific song. And I'm, you know, this is somewhat of a, like, a backhanded compliment, because, like, each song was like 7 or 8 minutes, it felt like. Mm-hmm. But within the song, it would start at one place and you would move through it and it would get quieter and then it would build and then it would sort of be this, like, he would start over with the lyrics, but it would be in a different, like, the music would be different, the instrumentation would be different, like, the energy would be different. Like, within the songs, he's able to hold, like, a very nice arc, and, like, you can get something, like, important and meaningful out of one of the songs. However, together, you're just sort of like, did I hear this one? Like, there's only 10 tracks. How could it... I think I'm hearing it again.
Yeah.
But I thought... So I'm voting with you. I thought Rebellion Rises did a better job of... Yes, each song is kind of quick. Yes, they sound similar, but they all have... They're all matching the theme. They all have something to do with Rebellion Rising. They all have something to do with, you know, people paying attention to the the power dynamic, and that, like, if you want to, you can, you know, evoke change. And I think that kind of goes back with, like, that Bob Marley was all about that. He was not, you know, he's Jamaica was owned by the British government, and he had to feel, you know, that, and that comes out in his music. And, like, you know, he's always about, you know, the people and how to put them first instead of people in power. And, like, that was the whole thing with you know, I shot the sheriff. Like, uh-huh. that song, you know, it's kind of like that's got some stuff to it, you know? It's talking about ingrained racism and that sort of stuff. And you're like, oh, yeah, I forgot. I thought that was just a song that everybody sings.
Yeah, there's a lot of the, like you mentioned earlier, a lot of Bob Marley songs are kind of like that. You know, there's layers to it that you have to peel back. You know, if you're not, that you can't really do if you're just like drunk at a party or high at a party, right. You know, it's kind of, cause it reggae music just in general as a default comes off as, you know, upbeat and fun,
right.
But it's almost like, you know, tricking your mind into thinking that, you know, the world is just like this song is not what it seems to be.
Mm-hmm.
The world is not what it seems to be too, and you really need to dig down deep in order to see, you know, what's really going on with this song and what's really going on with the world.
And
we're getting really deep here, you know.
And I think that's the appeal of reggae music. And like, mm-hmm. I can't speak to the full canon because like they have a couple radio programs on KDHX, the local community radio. They'll have like three or four DJs throughout the week, and they'll do a reggae program. And I don't know anything about that stuff or like those uh-huh. artists, but I'll catch some stuff. And it's a lot of, you know, popular reggae guys like took up, you know, the same causes that Bob did, where it's uh-huh. like, we're going to present, you know, a message in a positive, like fun party sort of atmosphere with like a whole bunch of like instrumentation. We're going to have, you know, a couple, maybe a choir, a chorus come in, and like you want to listen to it. And if it's catchy, you'll remember it. And then like, oh, there's also a message here where like Danny, I'm sure Danny had a message because on the front cover, he looks very serious on his album. You know,
uh-huh.
he looks like he's thinking about stuff. But like it kind of gets lost because I'm not saying it's too hard, but it's like I don't know if his layers are supposed to be that obvious. Like his layers are like, no, this is deep. Where like Ziggy's just like, nah, like you're gonna be done in like 30 minutes to listen to my album, so you can listen to it twice if you want, you know, sort
sure.
of thing. But I don't know.
Gotcha.
Sometimes you gotta get deep, Dan.
I know.
It'd be hip to be square. Alright.
Tip to be square.
There we go. Okay, so take a quick look. This was a close one.
Mm-hmm.
I think the important thing we have to remember is that like they're both like really talented, like
mm-hmm.
in their own right.
Very much so.
They're both still putting out music. Ziggy's was in 2017. Danny's came out 2018. I think he's still touring. So that's good. I'm sure they have like strong fan bases independent of, you know, us. So they're both doing good. But we're giving Ziggy Marley's Rebellion Rises 2017 album, we're giving it the prize today for best album by an artist who's a child of a famous artist.
Yep. Narrow victory.
Good for him.
But
still pulled it
off. He deserves it.
He did a good job. and we'll be back in just a minute with our recommendations for an album by an artist by a famous music artist. All right, and we're back. So we got a recommendation time. That's this part of the show. We're going to tell you an album or an artist to check out who is the child of a famous other music artist. Dan, you want to start us off?
Sure. I went with Roseanne Cash.
Oh, okay.
The eldest daughter of Johnny Cash. Wasn't the child of June. Johnny and June.
Okay.
It was Johnny and Vivian, which was Johnny Cash's first wife. But, you know, she's kind of classified as a country artist.
Okay.
But, you know, it says on her page that she draws on folk, pop, rock, blues, and most notably, you're going to like this one, Americana.
It's not that I dislike it. It's that it just get a better.
It's very presumptuous.
Like,
It insists upon itself.
We have to be good articulators. We have to be able to speak in, you know, ways that, like, convey what we're trying to say quickly as teachers. Aren't the people, like, who do this job of creating genres, like, I know that has an, is it teleology? Oh, man. There's a fancy name for, like, putting stuff in categories. But anyway, shouldn't they be better at their job?
Like, yeah, definitely. A lot of times they just give up. They're like, well, I don't know what this goes, so we'll just throw in an alternative.
Yeah, that's too bad.
Yeah, there was a while there where alternative kind of became
catch-all.
A big thing. Yeah. The album I'm going to suggest is 7 Year Ache from 1981. That had the probably her most popular song. She had three singles off that album, and the title track, 7 Year Ache, was a number one country song, but also a top 40 pop song.
Oh, that's awesome. Sleeping downtown, there's plenty of guys to be someone or not. You're looking for something, you better forgot. And don't bother calling to say you're leaving alone. There's a fool on every corner when you're trying to get home. Just tell them you're trying.
So that's probably her most well-known song, but it also had two other singles on there as well. And, you know, she's just very talented, you know, plays several instruments and an excellent singer and, you know, a chip off the old block as far as musical talent goes.
Was Johnny Cash a crossover hit in his day?
I believe so.
Okay.
I think he's one of those people that kind of started off as, like, the honky-tonk, you know, performing in the honky-tonks and stuff like that.
Well, he was – he did a lot of gospel music to start off. Like, he and Elvis,
and Elvis
were sort
did
of –
the same thing,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, that's, like, sort of their – they sort of – that was their bread and butter. That's how they built a demographic. And then they sort
it's a nice, safe way to to get in without pissing anybody off. And then he went and pissed a bunch of people off.
he was – so Johnny Cash is one of those other guys who, like, he and the Beatles sort of got into drugs together. And Johnny Cash, like, sort of had to dip out for a while. And then when he came back, he was sort of the crossover hit. Like, with his – we talk a lot about Johnny Cash and, like, his reemergence and his covers and stuff. So –
sure, and we talked about him on the last episode with the Million Dollar Quartet.
Yeah, he's just a talented man. Like, I would call him Americana. That's what I would do if I had to throw that phrase around.
Sure.
So, when did you listen to Roseanne Cash?
I see that
it's 81, so it's you're still listening to new music at the time. So that's good.
that would be through my dad.
Okay.
You know, that's how I got introduced to, you know, the majority of the music I listened to that was not rap.
Would you consider yourself a famous artist who's the child of a famous artist?
Yes. Yes.
All right, well, that's – there we go. We just saw
I'm going to come out with my psychedelic album next year.
You're going to be just like sitting on the front.
Get out of my – yeah, I'm going to be like really – like, I wonder what he's thinking about there.
He's doing he has 30 backslashes in a row, and that's the title of the album.
And I'm going to be like, oh, man, I ran out of cheese to dip these pretzels in.
I guess I'll just throw them away. All right, awesome. Okay, so my recommendation is Jacob Dylan, son of Bob Dylan, who I was just speaking with someone, and they're like, I had no idea the lead singer of The Wallflowers was Bob Dylan's son.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
And they don't look too similar, except at one point Jacob Dylan like grew his hair kind of silly, and everyone's like, "Oh, that's 1980s Bob Dylan." Everybody remember that? Like, yeah, I remember. And his voice when he so their most famous song was "One Headlight," Everybody knows that song.
Right. Yep.
That was their most famous song, and that didn't sound like Bob Dylan at all. And then that was their first album. It came out in, 1996. So that was Bringing Down the Horse. That was their second debut, or second album as a band. Mm-hmm. They took a break in 2005. They had an album in 2012. But he has done some solo stuff, and now he's sort of more comfortable singing in, I'm assuming, his real voice, which sort of sounds like Bob Dylan circa the song The Hurricane. If you heard that, that's like Bob Dylan's voice changes a lot as Bob Dylan changes. And sort of the voice he has when he's singing that one, which is sort of like sort of a talking, you know, it still has some like melody, some like, not, you know, nice musical cadences to it. That's sort of what he sounds like, that Jacob sounds like now. And I think in a similar fashion to Danny Harrison, he could have just cashed in immediately. I don't think Ziggy was a sellout. I'm going to put that forward first. I think like Ziggy saw like his dad's music career as sort of like a movement, and he was happy to participate rather than cash in. And I even think like the whole, like the joke we're making about the comic book, I think that sort of goes back to like, well, if you make stuff that people like, that's a good way to like get them an important message. And so I think that like Danny, he actually went to school. He went to Brown University. He studied industrial design and physics. He got a bachelor's degree, so he's a college graduate of, I'm assuming, a dual major? I don't know. And then he pursued a career as a car designer for McLaren, which is like the super expensive car, like automotive factory. And then he followed his father's footsteps, but if you like time this up, that it's because his dad passed away. And then he actually had a collaboration with Jacob Dylan, Danny did, and on the song Give Me Some Truth that was written by John Lennon. Which, so that's kind of fun. But I thought Jacob Dylan did a good job. Like, he didn't hit people in the face with the fact that his father is just incredibly famous.
A Nobel Prize winner.
This was before the Wallflowers was before the Nobel laureate came to Papa Bob. I think he did a good job of like staying away from his dad's music too, which is, you know, intentionally weird at times, and like very in the moment, like, and it wasn't folk music either, which like Bob did for a while, like kind of got him famous too. Like, Jacob Dylan sort of just went the traditional popular rock, modern rock path. So, and I just like, he's kind of fun to listen to. So there's two guys.
I'll have to check out some more of their stuff. I'm only familiar with, like you said, the one song.
Their first album's pretty good, or their second album's Bringing Down the Horse is quality. You don't need to mess around anymore, but I did recently listen to their 2012 album. It was pretty good. I haven't listened to his solo stuff yet, so can't speak to that. All right. So now we are on to the plug section. Dan, plug away, my friend.
Well, still doing a couple of podcasts that are picking up some steam. You actually appeared with me over this past weekend, and we were at St. Louis Comic Con, and we did a Harry Potter panel with you, myself, and my wife. And we're doing that in conjunction with our podcast, Broomsticks and Butterbeer, which is on all podcast platforms and picking up a lot. Yeah, very very kid-friendly. It's a chapter-by-chapter discussion of the Harry Potter books, which I'm reading for the first time. And
so major spoilers ahead.
We're on Facebook and Twitter. Twitter is at BroomsticksB, Broomsticks the letter B. And
what book and chapter are you guys near?
We're about halfway through the third book.
Perfect. So right, if people haven't started listening, they can...
Yeah, and go back to the beginning and listen. You know, follow along this journey with me. And then still doing the pro wrestling podcast. I'm one of the editors at prowrestling.com now, And the Rhino Wrestling Review is the podcast. It's on all podcast platforms. It's at Rhino underscore wrestling. That's R-Y-N-O underscore wrestling. And that one is not safe for work. That is an earbud podcast.
And I know you mentioned that it's on. You can get these on iTunes, but Dan has cracked the code of the internet and figured out how to put his podcast on every platform, which is awesome.
Yeah, it's on MySpace, it's on LinkedIn, it's on Alta Vista.
No, like you aren't joking, but like it's on Spotify. You said it's on iHeartRadio.
Yeah, it's on iHeartRadio, like, Spotify.
Actually places but, people would look for stuff. So.
You can get it. You know, my brother's really they kind of use like Downcast and stuff like that, where I guess that's like a program that kind of combines
from like
everywhere.
If you do Feedburner, I think it automatically goes to those.
Oh, gotcha.
I was doing this, so I wanted to get on Spotify and I messed it up somehow. Like, there's no picture and it doesn't show up as a podcast, but all the episodes are there, which makes no sense. But while I was like clicking around on stuff, one of the things like mentioned like Podcatcher and something else that I'd heard other people mention, and then there's like a box that it's already checked. So
gotcha.
Good to go.
Yeah, it's really easy to find. You know, a lot of people say, well, I have an Android, so I can't. No, you can get it. You know,
stop making excuses, Mom.
Yeah, stop making excuses and just subscribe.
You don't have to like it. You do have to subscribe. You don't have to listen to it.
My wife. I said, you don't have to listen. Just download it and then delete it.
5 stars. You know, it's all we need.
Yeah. You know, same as this one, man. If you like it, leave a review. It like really ups the profile of the show and makes it easier for people to find, and kind of, you know, helps you, you know, climb up those search results a lot. You know, a lot better, makes it, you know, ups the profile of the podcast. So if you enjoy any of what we've talked about, leave a 5-star review.
Awesome.
And if you leave a 1-star review, just throw your phone away.
Yeah, just save yourself some time. Just call me personally, insult me, and then hang up. It's way easier.
Yep.
My phone number is, no, I'm not going to do that. You could Skype call me. That's easy.
Yep. That's fine.
That's what Dan and I do.
Yep.
All right, man. Yep. This has been Comparing Apples to Oranges. Today we talked about artists that are famous children of famous artists. And we decided Ziggy Marley did a better job of writing an album than Danny Harrison. But we had a good time listening to everybody today.
Yeah, it was fun. I'm just saying, as usual, it's a good time.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun today. I think that's what it's all about.
Yep, yep. And taking down them fake leaders.
Them fake leaders. They're all around us. So this has been Comparing Apples to Oranges. I'm Mike.
And Dan.
We'll catch you next time. Bye.
Bye.
Some classic Jacob Dylan for you. Hey, thanks for listening. This was episode 4040 of the podcast, and I hope you liked it. I've got a blogger site that's all nice and looking presentable, and that's at the URL thecatopodcast.blogspot.com. I decided it would be way easier for you to be able to access all the links to Dan's stuff by putting it in the show notes, and I've got some treats in there for this episode too, like a link to the Arthur video, and the Roz Trent video I talked about, and I found that list we pulled our guys from today. It was on a site called Ranker, so that's in the show notes. Any comments or ideas for future podcasts, please send them to Twitter is @thecatopodcast, all one word, or emails at catopodcast@gmail.com. Our intro, outro, and music bed music was Thumbs Up by the great artist named Leisure B. I wonder if he has a famous parent. That'd be kind of interesting to find out. If you liked his song, go ahead and check out the rest of his stuff at humanworkshop.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time. Bye.